This is Through the Telly Box with yours truly,
Jessica,
and George.
That's like a question. Jessica? Is that my name?
We are still unaware of whether that is your name or not. Anyways, what is our topic for today? This is actually our very first podcast recording.
So, first episode, gotta devote it to The Walking Dead.
Indeed. We are definitely big fans.
Yes.
So is the rest of the world. Yeah, we just wished we had started this when this season had just started. Obviously, we're starting at, what episode is this?
Episode five or six?
I know they have like two more episodes left.
And then they take their break.
Right, and they take their break until
I think there's 16 January. Episodes a season, so we must be at like episode five or six then.
Somewhere around there.
God, we're horrible fans. We don't even know how many episodes.
Obviously, they know we don't have any notes. So
we're winging this.
Yes, we are definitely winging this with some wine, by the way.
Oh, where's my glove? Lost it. All right.
So, trying to think. Okay, this last episode was with...
Oh my God, you are a horrible fan. Tara. Tara was the main focus of this episode. So if you have not watched the episode that includes all of, you know, Tara's story as to what's been happening while she's been off scavenging with Heath, then...
I just know her by her real name. Her last name, actually. Mm-hmm. Masterson. I think it's a cool last name.
That is a cool last name.
Yeah. And I follow her on Instagram. It's very epic.
You think it's her real last name or a stage name?
No, it's her real last name.
Yeah? You'd have to keep that, right? You wouldn't change that.
No.
Yeah, so it's her backstory. So we don't want any complaints about spoilers at all. If you've not caught up,
correct.
Feel free to listen, but we do not want you to be angry if we ruin something.
Right, so if you feel like we are going to spoil it for you, then we'll give you some time. 3, 2, 1. Now that was your time. So here we go.
I kind of felt that her story was a little boring, to be honest.
I liked it, actually.
You liked it?
Yeah. I actually was glad that they actually gave her her very own episode all to herself. And, of course, meeting a whole new colony.
That's true.
As well.
A colony
full of women, which are secretly working for Negan. Only because they're forced to.
Wait. Is this comic book stuff?
Wait, no. Yes and no. Because in the comics, okay, Negan says, he even said it in the not this last episode, but the episode before. Maybe the episode before that. He said that he doesn't hurt women. He doesn't kill women. That's what he says. He doesn't kill women. He will hurt them, but he doesn't kill them. And in the comics as well, he's very much against anyone... on his team, raping any of the women. They have to be willing to
participate in the activities.
Correct. Sexual activities.
So when we get the information in the episode that Negan has wiped out all of the men in this colony, anybody above 10 or older that's male got wiped out.
Yeah.
But the striking thing is, so they leave all these women and they make it sound, and obviously they're dishonest because as the episode plays out, they make it sound like they're going to let Tara leave and they're going to take her back to the bridge and then they try to kill her. So they're sitting here playing, you know, fake. So the story they tell could be fake. They said they snuck away in the middle of the night to escape Negan and created this little
could
community.
Be. Could be. I'm trying to remember from the... I don't believe this colony even exists in the comics. I don't remember them at all.
Oh,
colony full of women.
Okay.
I'll have to do further research on that. But my thing is, you know, for the women that...
So why do you think they're working for Negan then?
Well, they're forced to work for him. because he goes and he kills all their men, and he threatens. It's more of a threat, like, okay, you know. But it's kind of vague, though. It's still vague, like, why would he kill all the men and leave all the women and then use them to help them out? We don't... This episode didn't really explain a whole lot. So again, they could be just joking about it. But the thing that makes me question that is when Tara, during the dinner table scene, Tara's telling them the truth, you know, about everything. Just telling them, like, well, there's these really bad guys, and they work for this guy named Negan. And as soon as she said Negan, you see the camera pan at the, what do you call it, of the other women around the table. And you see the head lady, I don't remember her name, of the colony.
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
Yeah. She gives this look like, okay, she's a little bit onto us, but at the same time not. Like, she gave this look that her and then the other women too there, they gave this look like they know exactly who Negan is. And it was this look like they're hiding something. And so I think that they just kind of, obviously they stayed quiet, and then they just played along with saying, oh yeah, well, you know, you can stay here, would really like you to stay here, and da 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 da. But obviously they're going to kill her anyways. Now, the other question is, if Tara decided, hey, you know what, I'll stay with you guys, why not? Would they have killed her still? Who knows? They seem pretty ruthless, actually. Ruthless group of women. I
don't like the fakeness, like, the shaking hands or bumping fists and being like, yeah, we'll take you back to the bridge. It's just so reminiscent of Terminus. The whole, yeah, we're here to help you, that fake mentality, that bringing someone into safety. And I kind of wonder if Tara had figured it out. I mean, it seemed like she was kind of figuring it out as they're walking through the woods, kind of realizing, like, don't have good intentions.
Yeah, to me, I think Tara was figuring it out during the dinner table. I think she was contemplating, you know, just like, okay, are these guys for real? And then I think while they were walking through the woods, I think that's when she really got the hint that, okay, I think they're actually out to kill me, because they were walking behind her. And why they sent two, you know, they could have just sent one, really. And then the big giveaway was when they saw that walker out there, they pointed their guns, but they were still behind her rather than going in front of her, like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
And then Tara sees, you know, that one of them pulls a knife out. And she's like, okay, I got this. And then she picked onto that pretty quick.
So what do you think about, because they kind of touch on it a little bit in the beginning of the episode, the conversation with Heath and Tara about the morality of what they did and what that means for them as a group going forward, and then just also a reflection of this community who have taken upon themselves to survive, they shoot and never ask questions. Like, it's just, if you're not part of us, you're automatically against us.
And you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, obviously they brainwashed that poor little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously she just developed this really bad attitude towards anyone that entered their camp.
It's like us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
Which I think if you could reflect that. What I love about the show is I feel like it's more than just a TV show. It's about human beings and how they react in certain situations.
Right now, human nature.
Yes.
With survival of the fittest. The whole psychological and philosophical concept of fight or flight kind of deal.
Well, definitely. And, like, when you think about, like, refugees looking for, you know, wanting to come into the United States or into any country... the pushback of people going, like, well, no, you don't belong here, we don't want you. The us versus them mentality.
Yeah. It brings on the statement and the question of do we really know ourselves? Can we truly say that we know ourselves? Me personally, I think not. Because if I was really put in that situation, I don't know how I would really react in a situation, mm-hmm. in a zombie apocalypse. I know that I will try to survive, but if I was in a situation where, I don't know, like Rick and his group, you know, mm-hmm. In Terminus, or just in any of the situations, just trying to survive, would I allow others to enter into my group, or just keep the group I have? Or just like those women, did they just keep their group that they have and everyone else is considered an outsider and they need to stay away or they die?
Well, see, and that's the thing is you're in this situation where, let's face it, as far as we know, I mean, we've only seen Atlanta and, you know, Virginia.
Yeah.
But we can assume that it's hit the entire globe.
Right.
So if, you know, I think there was this thing online that I read about someone actually took the time to do the math to calculate how many percentage of people are actually survived and how many are zombies. And it's a very big differential. There's not very many people alive in the world. And it seems that you would want to work together to create a society and create your best chance for survival, because now you have
stronger
different
in numbers.
Exactly. And you have different communities, like the Hilltop can plant different crops and Alexandria can plant different crops.
Well,
and now you have this new community that can do fishing. And so like you can all barter and trade and buy.
Well, that's why Negan is a pretty smart guy, even though he's very ruthless and,
no, he's worse than Joffrey, and he's worse than Ramsay Snow. Okay, we didn't think it could get worse.
He's bad.
But I have pure hate in my heart when I see him, and just
so do I. So
do
I.
Sick.
But if you think about it, the
gut.
Guy is pretty darn smart, though. He's using, in a very wrong way, you know, threat, some sort of a threat, to push people over the edge to get them to listen to him and work for him. So everything that they're good at providing, he's the one that's taking. So in a sense, like, yes, you can say, pretty smart guy, you know, he's taking the initiative to play this really evil person, kind of like a Genghis Khan or a Hitler, not necessarily Hitler, but more of a Genghis Khan, just a tyrant, you know, just like a ruthless leader, and just taking these, I guess he would, you know, colonies, and whatever they have to offer, he takes from them, but also uses them as a benefit strictly just for him, mainly. And, you know, he brings out, of course, his little quote-unquote soft side, you know, here and there, like, if you're good to me, you respect me, I will be good to you. But that, obviously, we already know it's not usually the case with him, because
he's... Well, even his own group.
His own group is very ruthless as
they,
well.
I think there's a small percentage of people that are like, yeah, they're just ruthless, horrible, evil people and are totally with Negan 100%. And I think what you would find if Negan's power was taken from him or threatened and it didn't look like he would have the power he has now, I think a majority of his group would be like, oh, thank God. Like,
yeah, they would. They would be
and
like,
and I think that's evident a couple episodes when Dwight is chasing down, I think the character's name is actually Morgan as well, chasing down his old friend.
Yeah.
And his friend's like, I don't want to go back. Like, there's nothing left. His group, I think, would totally desert him.
They would.
And totally follow a different leader, which, again, like, that's kind of where I see his downfall that's going to happen. What I predict is these colonies will eventually start talking to each other. And build an army. And we talked about this before.
Yeah.
We did record it, and I wish we had. Because I said, Union's going to make bullets. And sure enough, they asked him to make bullets.
That's exactly what he does.
And
he does that in the comics.
I think that is really difficult, though. Like, I know, like, he has to think of all the different calibers of weapons they might come across. And then you got to find the raw materials, the lead or bronze or whatever you make a casing out of, and the gunpowder.
Yeah, with the limited resources that they already yes. have. Yeah.
But but that's my thing. I think they are all going to start building different weapons, and they're going to all combine, and they'll have the numbers. And Negan's example is he's too cocky. He thinks he has everything under control.
Yeah. He for those of you listening that don't know the background of Negan, in the comics, he was a coach. I think he was a baseball coach and a football coach. I want to say water polo, actually. I have to look back.
You know what? I played water polo in high school, and that is ruthless. We had t-shirts that said...
He was a water polo coach instead.
We had t-shirts that said, travel to interesting places, meet interesting people, and drown them.
I played water polo in freshman, my freshman year of high school. It was definitely the most exhausting sport I've ever played. But anyways, he has that coach mentality and personality, and you know, it's his way or the highway. You know, you're going to listen to me, we're going to win, and that's why he does such a horribly great job at getting people to bow down to him, literally bow down to him, because he gets them to, as we saw in a few of the earlier episodes. And he forces the people to say, like, I am Negan. I am Negan. We're all Negan, you know? Mm-hmm. And basically making himself out to be a god at a sense. I lost my train of thought. What were we going with this?
I forget as well, actually. We are not very good podcasters. I think they were discussing the fact that, you know, the groups are going to rise up against him.
Oh, yes.
That he does not really have as much power as he thinks he does.
If he loses that power, correct, the group will easily leave him. Mm-hmm. And in one of the comics, again, spoiler alert! One of the titles is All Out War. And, that's basically what goes on, is that the colonies rise up with, not the saviors, the kingdom. With the kingdom and Ezekiel and Rick, you know, they take leadership and they get everybody to rise up. And Carl plays a big part in it too. Mm-hmm. He helps to get people rallied up as well. And
well, you can totally see that. He is so rebellious. And I'm really concerned because I don't know how they're going to play it off in the show. If he gets discovered, he's not supposed to be on a truck that's coming from the hilltop. So it's not going to work out for either group if he gets discovered. So I'm really hoping he and Jesus don't get found out.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out. I know in the comics how it does, but I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm not going to say just yet. Until
we see until what we happens. See yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
So
what philosophy, because it seems like, you know, King Ezekiel kind of has the same philosophy as Rick in some ways. We've seen lots of different philosophies on how to survive. And something that's been reoccurring is, you know, Carol said in last season, you know, she's having this conflict with Morgan. Her whole philosophy was, you have to be a monster to kill the monsters.
Right.
Like, you have... And Heath kind of said the same thing when he's having this conversation with Tara. He's like, no, I get it. Like, we had to, you know, we had to kill first or be killed. Like, right. That's kind of their philosophy. And you have these other characters who are very much, especially Morgan, very optimistic, open, like, giving people a chance even when it doesn't look like they deserve it. I mean, what philosophy do you think is the right one to survive?
And that's the burning question. How do we really go about living in a situation like that, mm-hmm. you know, a zombie apocalypse? And it's very difficult to even answer that alone, because when they're put in a situation where it's a life or death situation, not necessarily for themselves, but for another, or just for others in general, I think that philosophy can change depending on the person. One minute you're like optimistic like Morgan, next minute you become Carol and you realize, shoot, you know, I'm gonna have to throw that one out the door. Kind of like Morgan, he actually had to throw that optimistic mentality, just a little bit of it, out the window. For a while he was like, I'm not gonna kill anyone, we're gonna keep everyone alive, I'm only gonna kill zombies because they're walkers, because they're already dead. Then those that aren't dead, you know, they deserve a second chance, that we can talk to them, like he tried with
the wolf,
yeah. One of the guys from the wolves, yeah. And it actually kind of worked a little bit. You can see it kind of did, but, you know, and he ended up sacrificing himself too. But then when he saw the situation with Carol, it's like they kind of flipped. Like Carol eventually went optimistic and more soft, and then Morgan kind of went more.
Well, I think that's why she, you know, a lot of people are pissed off with Carol's, you know,
carry
and story, is because she's been, you know, so badass, yeah. And she didn't have a conflict with that,
yeah.
Until but Morgan presented another philosophy,
right.
And all of a sudden she kind of reflects and goes, you know, oh crap, like,
what have I become?
Yes, yeah. And so I think for her, because she feels like it is the best way to protect the people around her, and she can't do that anymore, and so she just kind of wants to remove herself from the situation altogether.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely see her.
And with all the killing that's going around, it seems like it's starting to take a little bit of a toll on her. And so, yeah, I think that's causing her to like, yeah, really stop and think. Like,
and I think you're right. I think Morgan,
yeah,
is very much kind of reflecting on his philosophy and going, well, maybe being completely peaceful
is not 100%
all the time is
that
not.
There really are bad people.
Yes. And so I think they'll try to balance each other out. I've always said they've been like this yin and this yang.
Right.
And actually in the episode with the wolves, when they're fighting and they like knock each other out and then the wolf runs off with the doctor,
right.
They're actually wearing like light and dark clothes.
Mm.
And so like just the symbolism of
good and evil,
of what they're wearing and,
yeah,
how that plays out was kind of an interesting thing.
That's what makes Robert Kirkman and the other producers of The Walking Dead, you know, so awesome, is that they put those little symbolic meanings in their show, metaphors and stuff like that, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the Easter eggs as well, and so, mm-hmm, that they put in there. It seems like Morgan is more leaning on what Carol used to be, you know, but still keeping a open mind for those who may want to change. But I think he's getting to the point where he's starting to learn to decide who's really evil and who's able to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like Negan, you know, you can't change him. He's stuck in that mindset that I am a leader, I am a coach, I am it, you know, you're going to listen to me or that's it. Because with Negan, you notice he doesn't really give chances all that much. I mean, he does here and there, but
it doesn't come with some consequence, with Dwight.
There's always a consequence.
Yes, with Dwight, like, yeah, they got to come back, but
there's
the cost was very high.
Right.
Just
like the guns, too, you know, when one of the guns was missing, or two of the guns was missing, actually, and he threatened to kill, what's her name?
Did they ever say her name? I don't know.
Yeah.
Susan?
Is it Susan?
I think it was Susan. We'll go with Susan. That sounds good. She looks like a Susan.
The gunsmith.
The gunkeeper.
Yeah. And she also keeps track
of
all
the
food.
Inventory. Yeah.
The inventory lady. whatever her name is. Jeez, we're horrible. And he even said right there, he goes, I don't normally kill women, but I'll make a, you know, I may do so for this situation, you know.
Make an exception to show an example.
Yeah. If you guys don't find those two other guns, And of course, you know, with Rick, you know, every life is valuable to him, especially on his team. So he's mm-hmm. like, I gotta find those guns. Regardless that Michonne is completely against what Rick is doing for Negan. You know, you obviously can tell with Michonne, yeah. she's like, it's warring inside of her, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and definitely. She just, she's still like gung-ho about like, let's just take him out, you know, who cares? But after what
Well,
Negan,
definitely like Rosita is as well. And I think with Sasha and Maggie, Sasha, you know, she wants to know where Negan's base is, but she doesn't want Maggie to know yet.
Yeah.
And I think because she knows, you know, how much pain she's going through, she'll want to get revenge. And she knows we can't be rash. We have to have a good plan in place.
Yeah.
And Rick's not there yet. He's too broken.
He's too broken. After what happened with Abraham and Glenn. And then
that was close, George. You almost forgot.
yeah, how can I forget Glenn? It's the wine.
No.
And also with the close call with Carl chopping his arm off, you know.
Oh,
yeah. In the comic, Rick actually gets his arm chopped off.
Rick gets his arm chopped
off?
Yeah. Is it the same arm that had lost a hand from the governor?
Actually, not his. It's not his arm. It's his hand. Yes. Yeah.
He loses a second hand? He already lost a hand with the governor in the comics. He loses yet another hand? He's handless Rick?
He loses the hand with the governor.
Pretty sure.
Because
the governor was pretty... He was more awful in the comics than he was in the show, I think. And he does some horrible things to Michonne. And then Rick tries to come and rescue them. And he ends up getting his, like, hand chopped off.
No, he gets his hand chopped off by Negan.
Hmm.
Obviously, we need to do some research on that. So just please bear with
we'll
us.
We'll agree to disagree. It doesn't matter. Either way... Rick loses a hand at some point
Handless
in the
Rick.
Show. Handless Rick. So it'd be hard to shoot some weapons.
Well, the
maybe he could do what...
they mentioned that in The Talking Dead, actually.
Maybe they do what Daryl's brother did and, like, attach a knife to his little stubs. Maybe he had more scissor hands.
Yeah. But, yeah, they mentioned that in The Talking Dead... last Sunday, about that it would be too difficult to have Rick play as Rick without a hand. And so that was part of the reason why they didn't cut his hand off
mm-hmm.
In the first episode of this
yeah.
season.
Or Carl's either. He's
Carl.
A pretty major character, too.
Yeah, and he's already lost an eye.
I know.
You know
this poor kid.
I know, when I saw that episode, the first episode, I was like, oh my gosh, are they really going to cut his arm off, too? I'm like...
That episode was so hard. Like, I have talked to so many people, and they're like, it was so...
It made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah,
I almost turn the TV off. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
I
think a lot of people did, and I think
like,
they were almost like,
this.
They were
I
almost like, I
can't
even continue with the show for some people. For me, I was so numb. Like, I didn't cry the first time I watched the episode.
Yeah.
I was just numb. The second time I watched it, when he talks to Maggie, I lost it. I started crying. But that first time, I'm just so shocked because I thought we were safe after Abraham got it.
Well, that's what... I think that was the whole point, you know.
Yeah.
Behind the whole, you know, thing with Robert Kirkman and, you know, you guys thought you were safe. He really wanted us to feel, and he definitely got us to feel
he
the
did.
Way that each of those characters were feeling on that night. And he did an amazing job just getting us to feel just like them, you know, just angry. Sad, frustrated, all these emotions going on, and like you said, it was just kind of numb too, in a sense too. Just kind
well,
of
and
like,
you get that from the characters when they're just
is
kind
this
of
really happening right now.
Yeah, like, they're just kind of sitting there after the group leaves, and they just don't know what to do. And, you know, it's Maggie that gets up first, but everyone is just kind of numb, like just sitting there in shock.
Did this just really happen?
Yeah.
Like, or am I just having a really bad dream? Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think Scott Gimple and Robert Kirkman, mm-hmm. all the writers, have done an amazing job making us feel how the group feels. Like when Negan comes for the first time to Alexandria, just that sickening feeling happens again. And you can see all the characters are just like dread,
yeah.
of what's going to happen and that anxiety. And that's definitely how you feel the whole episode.
Yeah. And that's why Rick is broken right now. And he's just obeying the best that he could to everything that Negan is wanting him, ordering him to do. Because obviously it's not like Rick to just be like, okay, let's get all the guns. The original Rick would be like, oh, heck no.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing that. But he's broken, but eventually he will snap out of it.
It's kind of a bummer they had an inventory.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of bit them in the ass in the end. Like, if they hadn't had one, then they could have hit some guns. But, so do you think... Do you think Tara is going to eventually not keep her promise? Because she did see all those weapons. Do you think that she is going to try to reach out and communicate to her one friend, Cindy, and try to be like, hey, this is our plan. We're going to get revenge, and we need your guns. We have ammo, but we need your guns. Do you think they'll kind of work together, or do you think she'll just keep her secret and they'll find weapons somewhere else?
Tara is a... You can tell she's the kind of person that she's true to her word. I think, you know, from just this last episode, because Rosita was pushing her, like, I know you saw something. I know you ran into people. Tell me, you know, so we can go over there and get guns from them. And she stayed true to her word. She did say nope. And then I think she said like 3 times, no, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. So I think for now, you know, she's going to stay true to her word. Maybe later she might, like you said, she may reach out and be like, hey, you know, we're going to rise up against Negan and take him out while he's vulnerable. But I don't know. It's really hard to say because just by Tara's character alone, you know, she's very easygoing, but at the same time, she seems like she's very true to her word. If she says she's going to keep a promise, it seems like she's going to do it.
Yeah.
So that's my guess. I don't... It's starting to steer away from the comic, which I'm glad, because now I'm like, okay, I'm not suspecting anything now.
Yeah. They've changed it so much, because I've read the comics up to Terminus, and they were so different. There was a lot of similarities, but there was so many differences that you can enjoy both for what they are. But having watched the show first, I like to stick ahead. I like to just watch the show and then catch up with the comics later. So it doesn't ruin anything for me.
Well, yeah, that's good. Me, I like to read ahead. Okay, who's going to die next? So I can prepare myself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's...
I think we covered a lot of interesting...
ground.
Yes.
Well,
there was so much to cover.
There is so much to cover.
You can't even talk on everything.
Five or six episodes that have gone already. And with just 2 episodes left, right? We've covered a pretty good chunk and just us wrapping it up for tonight. Till next time. Again.
Oh, I'm Jessica. Still with the question. We don't know. Next time we'll figure it out.
Next time we'll know. And then this is George, and we are through the telly box. Good night.